From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. More Idaho Matters right now. Did lawmakers at the Idaho legislature violate open meetings laws? Well, that's the question swirling around the statehouse after an impromptu and unannounced meeting of some of the members of the powerful budget writing committee just last Thursday. It's a joint committee, meaning lawmakers from both of the House and the Senate gather to produce the budgets that spend taxpayer money to keep our state running. Now, the legislature is exempted from some of the state's open meetings laws. And on Friday, the head of the Senate side of the committee told Idaho Report that it was not an official meeting. Well, we wanted to know more, so we asked Logan Finney with Idaho Reports on Idaho Public Television to come back on Idaho Matters and talk about this. Hi there, Logan.
Hey, Gemma. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so Logan, can we start with what happened exactly? Because first, there was a vote in the Budget Committee on the health and welfare budget. That passed. Then it went to the Senate floor. Can you tell us what happened next?
Sure. So this is one of the health and welfare related budgets. Specifically, this is a budget that had some funding for a new federal program that's called the Summer EBT program. You may recall during the coronavirus pandemic, there was a time where kids who go to school buildings to get lunch during the summer, the free and reduced lunch kids, during the pandemic, we couldn't do that, meet in person. So the government started sending out EBT cards or food stamp cards, sometimes they're called. And this was a way to replace the food that children were supposed to be getting at schools when we couldn't do that for the pandemic. Now we're kind of back to normal. Those old programs are back up and running. And so this EBT program is not an extension of the COVID program, but it kind of helps understand where it came from. Money for that program made it out of the Joint Budget Writing Committee, but once it made it to the Senate floor, it was not received very well. It ended up I don't have the exact vote count in front of me, but all the members of the Budget Writing Committee, except for the floor sponsor of the bill, voted against it, which is very, very unusual. We talk about JFAC pretty much all the time when we talk about the legislature because it's such an important committee and they do so much work over the legislative session, accounting for basically every single dollar that gets spent. And so it's very unusual for the committee to put together a budget that they're seemingly happy with, pass it out of committee, and then kill it on the floor. So that was very surprising to a lot of us, including Senate President Pro Tempore Chuck Winder last week.
Okay, because Logan, after the Senate voted down that health and welfare budget, as you just said, Senate President Pro Tem Chuck Winder asked JFAC members to come to the conference room. And Logan, we have that audio, so let's take a listen.
Objections settled, go at ease.
Mr. President.
Senator Winder.
I know there are a couple of committee meetings that will be announced here shortly, but I would ask that the JFAC committee please meet me in the conference room.
Okay, so Logan, do we have any idea how many committee members showed up for this impromptu meeting? And why would that number actually be important?
That is probably the most important detail here, because public bodies in the state of Idaho have to conduct their business in public. There are kind of some asterisks when it comes to the legislature and their committees. But if the legislative committee is going to have a quorum meet, which is the number of members that you need for them to actually be able to make decisions on things, those meetings have to happen in public. So when it comes to the Joint Finance and Appropriations Committee, it's a joint committee made up of finance on the Senate side and appropriations on the House side. There are 10 members on each. And so to have a quorum of specifically the Senate Finance Committee, six of the senators on the committee would have had to be in the meeting for it to be a quorum and for it to break the rules and be in violation of the law.
Okay. And we don't know then how many folks were actually in that conference room.
I was not able to get a specific head count from the handful of senators that I spoke with. I did speak with a few, though. Senator Ben Adams from Nampa, he's on the committee. He told me specifically we did not have a quorum, whereas Senator Rick Just from Boise, he told me he wasn't sure how many. He didn't remember the exact number. He did say there were a lot, if not most of them. But if I run through the headcount on my hands, you could have five JFAC members plus Winder would be six people without it being six members of the committee. So that is to say, I'm not an attorney and I'm not filing any lawsuits. But the people I've talked to, it sounds like there was not a quorum in the room.
So do we know what they even talked about then in that conference room?
Sure. Well, first I want to read a part of the open meetings law first. This is my favorite section of state code. It says, "The people of the state of Idaho, in creating the instruments of government that serve them, do not yield their sovereignty to the agencies so created." That's a fancy way to say the government works for us, not the other way around. So when the government's making decisions, they need to do it in places that we can listen and weigh in on those decisions. And so this is why I wrote this story, because at the legislature, the Senate is doing their thing on one side of the building, the House is doing one thing on the other side of the building, and kind of that lack of communication between the two can sometimes be fertile ground for rumors to spread. And so I actually became aware of this. You know, I was listening to the Senate when Winder made those comments that we just listened to on the tape. But I didn't really think anything of it in the moment. And I actually went back and listened to it because lawmakers reached out to me and another reporter in the press corps, and they specifically said, "Hey, we're hearing questions about this. Did they have a secret meeting that nobody knew about?" So it was at the point where certain lawmakers had questions about it and apparently were not getting answers to their questions from their fellow lawmakers.
And so, Logan, with that said, then you talked about the summer EBT program and what it is and how it works. But why in the world would it even be controversial?
Well, the Idaho legislature is very conservative and they're very hesitant to take any sort of federal money because those federal dollars often come with requirements or strings attached, as they're often described. And so folks were generally opposed to this EBT program because they saw it as an expansion of the welfare state. They some of the more conservative members had qualms about the cards may not specifically be going to low-income students, but if a certain portion of the school's population qualified for free and reduced lunch, the entire school qualified for it, that sort of thing. So generally a philosophical opposition to welfare programs and further federal spending that a lot of them say is just increasing the federal debt and will have to be paid back eventually.
So at this point, what has happened to the health and welfare budget?
That is a great question. That's what Winder apparently called them into the room to ask them. Like we referenced before, it's very, very unusual to see a budget come out of the committee and then, it's unusual for it to be voted down in the Senate, but B, for most of the members of the committee who just wrote that budget, then voting against it. And so when Winder called them into the conference room on Thursday, kind of the sentence that has emerged multiple times in my reporting is, "In my 16 years here, I've never seen anything like that. What's the path forward here?" Basically. So lawmakers are pushing really hard to adjourn, but they can't adjourn without passing balanced budgets for the years. And so the impression I've gathered from my reporting is Winder just wanted to know, basically, how much more work is it going to take for us to get out of here before we can get these budgets figured out?
So I wanted to talk a little bit more then about this possible open meeting violation, which we don't know because we don't know how many members were actually in that conference room. But Logan, you did write in your Idaho Report story that the legislature does get a pass from some of Idaho's open meeting laws. And we touched on that a little bit. But can you just explain that a little more? Because one of the things that they're exempt from is posting committee agendas, correct?
Yeah. Legislative committee notices. Well, the open meetings law requires governing boards to post their agendas 48 hours in advance of a meeting so that people know what's on it. That does not apply to legislative committees. It is very common for, especially at this point in the session, for legislative committees, for their meetings to be announced kind of spur of the moment as negotiations are happening. And suddenly there's a path forward to make these votes in public and set the budgets. It sometimes will be walking into an afternoon committee meeting at this point in the session, not knowing what's going to be discussed, but the lawmakers have their papers ready to go. And that's the reason these meetings need to happen in public, so that folks like me and you, the reporters, and if someone was just in the public and happened to be at the Capitol building that day and was really interested in the health and welfare budget, they have the right to sit in and listen to what the government is doing on their behalf.
And you also wrote that back in 2003, then Speaker of the House Bruce Newcomb was investigated for a closed meeting of the House Revenue and Taxation Committee. What happened then?
Boy, 2003, I was still in grade school when that happened. So I don't have a complete mastery of the details, but it is kind of the most recent example of something like this, where a member of leadership took members into a closed door meeting to discuss something behind closed doors. So that was in the House, and the ethics investigation that resulted from it was not because of the open meetings law. The open meetings law just re requires the governing bodies to go back and redo their business in public. Otherwise, it basically didn't take effect. And when we see things like that, it's typically like a city council or a county commission or a group of folks who maybe weren't as familiar with the open records law as they could have been. And kind of the example that my lead producer and host, Melissa Davlin, gives is she often says, oh, it'll be a county commission. And they say, let's finish up this meeting at the bar down the street because there's only three county commissioners and they all know each other. But if it's not properly noticed, and if someone wanted to attend that meeting and didn't know they had moved from the courthouse to the bar down the street, then there's no way for the public to know. But the most recent legislative example or kind of similar situation was in 2003. Bruce Newcomb was the Speaker of the House, and he apparently had pulled members of the House Revenue and Taxation Committee into his office for, I don't know if it was to discuss policy or just a tongue lashing. But yeah, so that raised some questions and led to a formal ethics investigation in the House. In the ethics processes are also different between the House and Senate, which could have complicated things as well. But for there to be an ethics investigation, there does have to be a complaint from a sitting lawmaker to the body. So it would, for something to happen today, it would take a senator to formally start some proceedings and have more questions about this to have any sort of investigation into what happened on Thursday.
So before I let you go, Logan, at this point, I mean, we do know for sure that they have to balance the budget. So that has to happen. But other than that, do we know if there will even be an ethics investigation into this meeting?
I am skeptical of it. The House budget writers who I spoke to, specifically Representative Wendy Horman, who is the chairwoman of the House side, she was one of those who came to me and asked if I knew anything that had happened with this meeting because she was getting questions from other lawmakers in the chamber. She's in charge of the House side of the committee. And when rumors started swirling that maybe the Senate side of the committee had done something, she was completely unaware of it. And she told me that the Senate members wouldn't even tell her what they had discussed. So it seems to be maybe a little bit of chamber loyalty over loyalty to the budget writing committee. But that's kind of me editorializing. It's
Well,
yeah, there's been a lot of tension between the two sides of the committee, especially this year. But that's kind of part of an ongoing trend of over the last couple of years with changes in legislative leadership. Representative Mike Moyle is now Speaker of the House, and he's running the ship a little bit differently than the former Speaker Scott Bedke, who's now the Lieutenant Governor. And Bedke was lieutenant was Speaker of the House for the longest amount of time of any Speaker of the House. So there's been a lot of growing pains with the new regime, and I assume we have not seen the end of tension between the Senate Finance Committee and the House Appropriations Committee.
I think that is a fair assessment. I want to thank you so much, Logan, for joining us today. We've been talking with Logan Finney with Idaho Reports on Idaho Public Television about his story in regards to open meetings at the Idaho Legislature. We will, of course, put a link to Logan's story on our website, BoiseStatePublicRadio.org. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.